right. I call this meeting of the Property Tax Division to order pursuant to Rule 10.01. The first order of business is that we need to take a roll to determine who's present. The clerk, Mr. Peterson, will take the roll.
Chair Joaquin?
Present.
Joaquin, present. Vice Chair Gomez?
Present.
Gomez, present. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, present.
Hertas, present. Representative Anderson?
Anderson, present.
Anderson, present. Representative Becker Finn?
Present.
Becker Finn, present. Representative Fisher?
Fisher, present.
Fisher, present. Representative Green is excused. Representative Hassan? Representative Hassan? Representative Herr?
Present.
Herr, present. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, present.
Marquardt, present. Representative Mortensen, excused. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, present.
Pawlowski, present. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, present.
Torkelson, present. Representative Hassan? Representative Hassan. We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. All right. I want to note that all the committee documents for today have been sent to members and are in the committee packets on the House website. That includes the first item on our agenda, which is the minutes. Representative Marquardt, Chair Marquardt, have you had a chance to look at the February 2nd minutes?
I have, and I will move approval of the February 2nd, 2022 minutes.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. Does anyone have any questions about those minutes? I'll wait a second here. Seeing none, if everybody can unmute, we'll take a voice vote. All those in favor of approving the February 2nd minutes, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The motion is approved and the amendments are adopted. So the first item on our agenda, which also has materials in your packets, is House File 2800. Representative Hertas, would you like to move that your bill be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and that is my motion. I'd like to have this bill possibly laid over for inclusion.
Thank you, Representative Hertas. With that, you may present your bill.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. House File 28 is a bill that deals with the interest rate on delinquent property taxes. For those of you who receive a property tax statement, you may have looked at the reverse side of it and noticed that if you don't pay your property taxes on time, there's both a penalty on a monthly basis and an interest rate. And these both kind of work in tandem and accumulate it against the unpaid balance until paid. So members, some historical context for those who maybe were property taxpayers back in the 70s, we had double-digit inflation rates. And it's my recollection that way back then, the interest rate was raised on delinquent property taxes to be commensurate with the market at that time. Subsequently, our market has changed and the interest rates have been extraordinarily low for a very long time. And this minimum interest rate still remains in statute. And so to that is what this bill is trying to address and make it less expensive for people to pay their delinquent property taxes and to redeem their property if they should find themselves in foreclosure. And with that, Madam Chair, I do have Mr. Ron Elwood, who has been working on this issue for some time. And Mr. Elwood and I have been aligned in other past issues regarding housing. And I'm happy to work with him on this bill. And he's somewhere in the Hollywood squares here of people we're looking at. So if you, Madam Chair, if you call on Mr. Elwood, I'm sure he'd be able to give you some more context.
Thank you, Representative Hertas. Mr. Elwood, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Ron Elwood with Legal Aid. And first, I just want to thank Representative Hertas for carrying this bill. It's always a pleasure to work with him. And Chair Joaquin, thank you so much for hearing it and co-authoring it. I really appreciate it. This statute was put in place back in 1990 when the 30-year fixed interest mortgage rate was 10.13. Just by contrast, the rate as of December 2nd, 2021 was 3.05. And the rate has not reached double digits since November 1991. Under the current statute, annually, the Department of Revenue is obligated to set the interest rate based on the prime rate charged by banks during a six-month period ending on September 30th. And that, as I said, the rate, the most recent rate was 3.05. But the law says that if the rate is lower than 10%, then the rate shall be 10%. So in effect, it's a floor of 10%, which obviously is exceedingly high, so out of step with current rates. And the reason that this is so important is because it creates a barrier for homeowners to repurchase their homes once they hit tax forfeiture. And of course, nobody wants the homes to go into tax forfeiture. It's much better if the homeowner can redeem. And so that is the purpose of this bill. I want to thank the Association of Minnesota Counties and MICA as well for their help on this bill and their support of the bill. Happy to answer any questions. Appreciate your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Elwin. I want to note that Representative Hassan has arrived, and also that we opened up testimony to members of the public and no one has signed up. Members, are there any questions for Representative Hertaz? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this could be for Mr. Elwood or Representative Hertaz. I had some folks contact me asking about the process, this entire process of buying back forfeited property. And they were saying that somebody could make a minimal payment, $100 a month or something, to keep the property from going into foreclosure. Then I talked to some assessors and auditors, and they said, no, there's a three-year process where you can establish a payment plan to get back in current status. So, Mr. Elwood, what is the process for a person or a family trying to get property back out of foreclosure? You could generally give us how it's done.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Anderson, for that question. Thank you, Chair Joachim. There's several ways that property can go into foreclosure. Probably the most frequent is for non-payment of a mortgage. However, you can also go into forfeiture for non-payment of property taxes. What you alluded to, many counties do have a program where you come in and you sign what they call a confession of judgment. You sign a confession of judgment that you do owe the money, and then you enter into a payment plan. As is the case with residential property, you have to be delinquent 7 years for the property to be foreclosed on, and with other classes of property, it's usually 3 years. So those are kind of the triggers, and usually the remedies. You really don't. You start the foreclosure process, or the foreclosure process has started, but you really don't forfeit the property until after sheriff's sale, and even then, you still have some redemption periods. But what this bill is aiming to do is to make it less cumbersome and less costly to get current and to get your property tax paid and not be a barrier to keeping your property.
Thank you, Representative Hertaz. Mr. Elwood, did you have anything else to add?
No, I mean, I think Representative Anderson was the point that he made where the counties will enter into a payment agreement with the homeowner. The objective is obviously they want the properties to stay with the homeowner, get the property taxes paid. So they're going to be as lenient as they can to try to get that homeowner back in the home. So I think the payment agreement piece is really what the fundamental way to get a homeowner out of forfeiture and back into their home and current on their taxes.
Representative Anderson, follow up?
No further comments. Thank you.
Members, are there any further questions for either Representative Hertaz or Mr. Elwood? With that, Representative Hertaz, closing statements.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Elwood, for helping out. I appreciate all of the comments from the counties and the different associations in support of the bill. And with that, Madam Chair, I'll renew my motion to have House File 2800 laid over for possible inclusion.
And thank you, Representative Hertaz, for having our first bill up in division this year go so smoothly. Representative Hertaz renews his motion that House File 2800 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. So folks, next up on the agenda is what I like to call speed dating. We've had this beginning of session last year, but with the chance of having a surplus, I want to make sure that interest groups that normally come before our committee would get a chance to come and talk again about what some of their legislative priorities are. I will note that the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities was unable to attend, but has provided written material in your virtual packet. Each presenter will have 2 minutes. Mr. Peterson will raise his hand when there's 30 seconds left, and then we will begin with Gary Carlson from the League of Minnesota Cities. Mr. Carlson, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for taking a few minutes here. Last week, I did talk a lot about some efforts that we have undertaken as city organizations to look at the LGA formula and come back with some recommendations. We'll visit with you more on that in the future. I think we've got an idea that we think merits some consideration in the legislative process. So we'll be bringing a bill forward, hopefully in the very near future. So we'll discuss that later. I do want to mention, though, however, we are still also looking for some appropriation increase for the LGA formula. Although it is funded at the highest watermark level ever, going back to the 2002 level, we're still well below the 2003 level before the cuts were enacted. So we're still looking for an appropriation increase there. This isn't directly in this committee's purview, but it has a property tax impact, and that is our ongoing effort to secure the sales tax exemption for construction materials for public projects. Again, it might not come down to the division, but it does have a property tax impact because when cities and counties and schools pay that sales tax, they're paying it through raising the property tax. So Representative Swadzinski has that bill, and I think there may be another jacket floating around as well, but we'll be pushing that with the counties and the school boards to try to secure that. And then two other quick things. One of the things I'm hearing from a number of cities is questions about Representative Marquardt's truth and taxation hearing requirements that were enacted last year. Many cities see they have longstanding process by which they share information with their citizenry. And many have said to me, why don't we just make that a benchmark that cities could use if they don't have a system that they found to be successful. So I'll be talking to Representative Marquardt about that. And then finally, one other big issue, we're hearing a lot about rising home values and the resulting property tax increases. I don't have a recommendation on that at this point, but that is something that I'm hearing a lot from cities about. So Madam Chair, I'll be visiting with members throughout the session to share more information and ideas. So I hope I got 2 minutes in there.
That was fantastic. Hopefully everybody takes their cue off of you. Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Next, we have Matt Hilgart from the Association of Minnesota Counties. Mr. Hilgart, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Sure. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Matt Hilgart. I work for the Association of Minnesota Counties. AMC represents all of Minnesota's 87 counties. And thank you, first of all, Madam Chair, thank you for hosting this round robin. This committee still is an active place where bipartisan solutions can get forwarded, and we've really enjoyed working with all of you on those solutions. As it relates to this committee this year, AMC's main priority will be protecting property tax base and ensuring property tax relief is part of any discussions towards the end of session in any of the tax bills. And specifically here, we're referencing two things. One, kind of preventing additional shifts. It's interesting, I was looking at state auditor data from the last two decades, and the percentage of a county's budget that is raised, basically paid for by property taxes, has risen on average close to 10% over the last decade alone. And so, frankly, counties and local governments are relying more on property taxes to fund their budgets. And I think that this can be attributed to a couple of things. One, counties' mandates have grown, and some of those funding resources have gone down. Aids have not kept on pace with inflation. but also the percentage of the pie that's available to rely on for property taxes is getting smaller and smaller. And I know the Minnesota Association of Assessing Officers is going to be looking towards some of these things this year, but really protecting property tax base and additional shifts is something we'll be focused on, as well as investing in mechanisms that provide additional property tax relief. So those could be, of course, county program aid, which Matt Mossman will probably highlight a little later on today, PILT, and other formats and aid programs that you guys have historically supported before. Lastly, outside of this, AMC is also working with a group of community partners that have been very strong in the passage of last year's youth homelessness prevention aid to make some small policy changes to hopefully implement that program a little more efficiently and effectively. And also working with the Assessing Association on discussions related to the taxation of solar installations and the treatment of mobile homes. So I'll let Mark Peterson speak a little bit more to that later on. Thank you, Madam Chair, for the time today.
Thank you, Mr. Hilgart. Representative Hurtas, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Hilgart, you mentioned increase by 10%. And from my review of property tax statements, it appears to me that over that period of time of the total property tax pie, that in the case of what I've looked at Hennepin County, for example, my Hennepin County proportion of the total pie of the total tax bill has risen from about 30% to 40%. That's consistent with your statement. But I wanted to clarify if you meant 10% increase in county taxes or if you meant 10% shift in the total pie.
Mr. Hilgart, if you can make it brief, I want to keep moving through the agenda and have everybody say their piece, and this is more for members to have their interest piqued and then go back offline and talk to the organizations so we can get through everybody. But Mr. Hilgart, do you have a quick answer?
Sure. So Representative Hurtas, I'm sorry for the confusion. What I was trying to delineate was that if you're taking a look at counties' budgets, so a county sets a budget of $10 million, let's say, to fund their operations for the years. The percentage of that budget that they're using, they have to levy taxes to fund, has risen on average 10%. So property taxes are being used more rather than state aids, federal resources, and other revenue streams to fund their operations, more so than ever before. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Hilgart. So folks, take notes and make sure you ask folks online. Think of this as when you visit a new city and you take a city tour and then you go back and check out the locations that you thought were interesting. So we're going to move on. That was a poor analogy. I apologize for that. We're going to move on to Steve Fenske from the Minnesota Association of Townships. Mr. Fenske, can you please state your name for the record and put.
Hi, I'm Steve Fenske with the Minnesota Association of Townships. Thank you, Chair Joachim, for the invitation. What we just heard echoes townships quite a bit. There's a very limited taxpayer base available. It is decreasing to public land. It's decreasing in the population numbers themselves and the ability to pay. A lot more folks on fixed income as it becomes a more aging population. So that's been a big struggle for townships. The aids that are provided are pretty critical, whether that's PILT or there is a town aid program, but that's typically been pretty low funding. We see about $10 million a year. You have almost 1,800 townships. Now, that money isn't distributed just township to township, but if you divide that out, that's only about $5,600 per township. Even with gravel roads, which are relatively inexpensive, it doesn't go a long way. So the township role with local tax largely works closely with the counties, and we look to continue that relationship. Townships do have the ability to employ local assessors, and that's one issue we've been hearing about more lately, is a less of ability to find a private local assessor to do the work, and that's something we hope to work through over some time. We're gathering some information about that. Last piece that does have a property tax effect is annexation, something else we've been working on really in the long term, and it does have an effect on townships as they, again, have a shrinking land base to work from. Chair Joachim, thank you again. I will leave it there.
Thank you, Mr. Fenske. Moving on, Patricia Nauman from Metro Cities. Ms. Nauman, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Nice to see all of you today. My name is Patricia Nauman. I'm the Executive Director of Metro Cities, and it's nice to be back in front of your committee today, Representative Joachim, Chair Joachim. Just very briefly, Metro Cities does represent the shared interests of cities across the metropolitan region. So our jurisdiction is the 7-county metropolitan area. And the association does lobby for the collective interests of cities at the legislature, at the executive branch, and also the Metropolitan Council. And that's a unique role that the association plays in the world of local government advocacy. With respect to the property tax division, Metro Cities policies do touch on several issues. Basically, local government aid that Mr. Carlson had previously mentioned, and we testified on that last week, and I'm sure you'll hear from us again as the session proceeds. Other issues such as the sales tax exemption for construction materials is also something that Metro Cities does support fixing. And I know it has some nexus, but not entirely with this division. The issue of fiscal disparities. The fiscal disparities program is something that Metro City supports and keeps a close eye on when there are proposals. Other issues such as the 4D classification program, issues like tax increment financing, levy limits, certainly budget requirements, all those are issues that Metro Cities does have legislative policy positions on, and you'll find us responding to issues as they arise. I also just want to briefly say, Madam Chair and members, that overall, Metro City, sort of the common thread through many of our legislative positions is support and emphasis on the need for a strong state and local partnership. So the partnership that exists between the state legislature, the executive branch, and local governments, one that emphasizes good communication, good public stewardship for resources, and certainly adequate resources for cities to meet local needs and certainly state mandates. So I will leave it there, and thank you again for the opportunity to comment today.
Thank you, Ms. Nauman. Next up, we have Matt Mossman from Minnesota Intercounty Association. Mr. Mossman, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. Matt Mossman, Executive Director of the Minnesota Intercounty Association. MICA is a voluntary association of 15 of Minnesota's larger and faster growing counties, including 4 suburban and 11 in greater Minnesota. As has been noted, you know, counties, as you know, have a unique and longstanding partnership with the state, and they really do play an essential role in providing the public services that Minnesotans rely on every day. My written testimony that I submitted contains a link to our full list of 2022 priorities, but just to sort of note, while this is the property tax division, it's important to sort of understand that broad work counties do, and we also have a perspective in our platform priorities related to continuum of housing infrastructure needs across the state, supporting funding policies that effectively respond to the growing mental health crisis, fulfilling border-to-border broadband public safety, and other issues. Related to property taxes, Madam Chair and members, MICA's legislative priorities really align with Minnesota's tradition of a strong intergovernmental finance relationship. And in reality, that state funding often diminishes during lean budget years and ideally, hopefully, rebounds during periods of greater state budget flexibility. Specifically, Madam Chair, we do hope to work with you and all committee members throughout this legislative session to increase county program aid, which is about at the same level today as it was 20 years ago in nominal dollar terms. It has fallen from about 17% of total county levy and aid to about 7.3% today. County program aid helps all property taxpayers in the state as all counties receive county program aid. As has been mentioned, we are also strong supporters of enacting a general law refund exemption for the sales tax on construction materials. We would like you to, or the tax committee, to look at exempting counties as towns are exempted from the motor vehicle sales tax on road maintenance equipment purchases. And we would support looking at and reinforcing payments in lieu of taxes, out-of-home placement, and other needs that hit individual counties disproportionately. Finally, Madam Chair, Minnesota's property tax system is already extraordinarily complex. As the legislature considers individual proposals aimed at providing tax benefits and tax relief, whether it be for certain taxpayers or classes of property. We do encourage the legislature to maintain local control over property valuation and levy decisions to help simplify and make the property tax system more transparent wherever we can, and resist changes that increase complexity or that deliver tax benefits by shifting additional property tax burden onto other classes of property. Those are the highlights, Madam Chair. Thank you again for your time. Look forward, Chair Uequim, to working with you and other committee members throughout the session.
Thank you, Mr. Mossman. And that was the perfect segue into our next person, Minnesota Association of Assessing Officers, Ms. Mark Peterson. Could you please state your name for the record and proceed?
My name is Mark Peterson. I'm here representing the Minnesota Association of Assessing Officers. I'm also the county assessor for Cass County. And Matt has already touched on a few of our objectives, but a prime concern of ours has always been property tax classification simplification. And it kind of folds in with some of the other items that others have talked about. So we will be looking at possible introductions of a bill that would are getting some help on that to actually start with simplifying the residential, maybe looking at a house as a house. Other things we're working on are the manufactured home taxation as far as personal property manufactured homes, and it has to do with the tracking of the ownership. That's a huge concern among jurisdictions as far as how to track the owners, who to tax, how to collect that tax. So we're looking for a way to improve that. Matt also touched on the solar farms. This is in no way an anti-solar initiative. It's strictly a way to properly classify the land underneath those solar systems to make it more uniform with how we, say, tax the land under a billboard or a cell tower site. We are also concerned about any type of property tax base loss, and that comes down to any types of exclusions. So we have ideas on how to better administer some of these benefits on some of these programs without further expanding the exclusions. And it comes to rising home values, we would love to be involved with any conversations on those also, because we do have ideas or solutions that may work when it comes to that. We appreciate the opportunity to visit. Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Sorry, I was trying to catch up with the notes here. So next up, we have Eric Bernstein from We Make Minnesota. Mr. Bernstein, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Chair Uequim, members of the committee, my name is Eric Bernstein, and I'm policy director for We Make Minnesota, which is a coalition of labor and community groups united around the importance of state funding for a more prosperous and equitable Minnesota. I want to thank the committee for having us here today to discuss our priorities. It's been great to hear from local units of government, so I'll begin by sharing our hope that this committee will support them and the needs of the communities they represent. A recent Star Tribune article described the growth in local option sales tax proposals aimed at funding rec centers, public safety facilities, and other community projects. We feel this is yet another sign of statewide underfunding that really shouldn't persist with the surplus on hand. Last session, the Tax Committee heard 22 local option proposals representing a combined $570 million of needed funding. Additionally, this year, local governments submitted $1.45 billion in bonding requests, only $386 million of which were included in Governor Walz's recommendations. From conversations with local officials, it's clear these requests represent just the tip of the iceberg in terms of their need for affordable housing, infrastructure, and more. More broadly, the ramifications of widespread underfunding are clearer than ever. A labor crisis in our schools, hospitals, and nursing homes, the worst housing shortage in the country, and some of America's deepest racial disparities. This committee has much to say about the collection and distribution of revenue across the state, so our organization's priority will be to insist that it does so with Minnesota's pressing challenges in mind. The property tax system has historically been a cog in the wheel of structural racism and geographic inequity, but it can also be a great mechanism for delivering assistance. We aim to support policies that will provide a more sufficient and equitable distribution of our collective resources. We understand that the committee will discuss tax reductions this session. We are hoping for honesty in those conversations. Minnesotans have heard enough about the magical properties of corporate tax cuts, and we have learned that trading needed investment for nominal relief does not help us in the long run. Funding issues aside, we also recognize that paying property taxes is an onerous and unpopular process, and we'd be interested in programs to establish automated monthly payments or other means of easing compliance. We look forward to many in-depth discussions, and thanks again for having us.
Thank you so much, Mr. Peterson. And next up, we have Jill Larson from Minnesota Business Partnership. Ms. Larson, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I am Jill Larson with the Minnesota Business Partnership. Thank you for the opportunity to provide some comments today about business property taxes. My comments are going to be very high level because the next two testifiers are going to go into more details, and we didn't want to provide duplicative testimony. First, I want to say thank you for last year's tax bill that included some reduction in the state general levy, what we call the state business property tax. We did appreciate that the proposal that exempted the first $150,000 of market value was accompanied by an overall reduction in the levy, so there wasn't shifting onto other business properties. So thank you for that. That proposal, in our view, was necessary and helpful because Minnesota has really high business property taxes relative to other states, and that puts Minnesota employers at a competitive disadvantage. Businesses bear a higher property tax burden than other properties because they pay both a higher local property tax rate, and they also pay the state general levy, which the only other properties that pay that are cabin properties. And the business property tax impacts employers of all sizes, including those that don't own their building, but they pay the state property tax through their lease. And the state's ability to compete with other locations for business retention, business expansion is important to job growth. So we don't want to do anything that's going to make it more expensive to locate or expand here. So I guess our ask for this session is as you develop your division report, we would ask that you would consider further reducing the state general levy on all business property. And we would appreciate that approach rather than increasing the exemption level even further, because as that level gets increased, the tax pretty much just starts to fall on metro area properties because they're typically higher valued. So appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Larson. Next up, we've got Beth Cadoon from the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. Ms. Cadoon, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm Beth Cadoon with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. We represent more than 6,300 businesses across the state, employing more than 500,000 people. We advocate for policies to strengthen our business climate and to help the state's economy grow. I'll just provide a little background so then you understand some of the policies we're working on and why. There was a really great report that the Minnesota Chamber Foundation undertook to review the state's economy and what is needed for future success. That report's called the Minnesota 2030 Report. And it found that Minnesota grew faster than the U.S. for decades, with job growth exceeding national job growth for 27 of 35 years from 1970 to 2004. Since 2005, however, Minnesota's economy has grown more slowly than the U.S., with both our job growth and GDP lagging the U.S. for most of those years. While many factors contribute to overall economic growth, states with higher levels of in-migration and lower business costs have captured an increasing share of growth in the U.S. economy. Minnesota cannot continue to be both a low population growth state and a high business cost state if it is to support economic growth in the coming years. We believe this session, with the large surplus in the non-budget year, provides a great opportunity to reduce those areas where Minnesota is the most uncompetitive and is a barrier to investment and growth in our state. And that's the state levy is one of those that Ms. Larson mentioned. This is an area where Minnesota still ranks in the top 10 highest and much higher than all our neighboring states. There's a great report also by the Lincoln Institute and the Minnesota Center for Fiscal Excellence on their 50-state comparison study. And just a few examples of those on how Minnesota compares. For a rural commercial business property with $1 million of market value, Minnesota ranks second highest with a $32,600 tax. That is about double North Dakota and South Dakota and higher than all our neighboring states. It's even maybe surprising, Minnesota's tax is even 2.5 times higher than California's, which is at $12,640. For that same property in the urban area, Minnesota actually ranks a little better at 10th highest, but we're still 2.5 times higher than North Dakota and South Dakota. We thank this committee and the legislators for the work that has been made in the past session to reduce the state levy, and would urge you to continue to reduce this regressive high fixed cost of doing business in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cadoo. Next up, we have Mr. Smith. We have Sean Smith from NIAP. Mr. Smith, will you state your name for the record and proceed, and also explain the acronym, because I have it on here and I keep forgetting. So thank you.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Sean Smith, and I'm the Public Policy Committee Chair for NAIOP Minnesota. We are the leading organization for commercial real estate owners and developers. And in this role, I'm a proud volunteer serving my industry today. In our profession, we really view ourselves as providing the physical infrastructure for all the businesses that operate in our state. I'd like to briefly discuss two key priorities today. First, and hopefully the easiest, is to simply extend the state historic structure rehabilitation tax credit. Ideally, this extension is for 5 years or longer. This really helps accommodate the long project times for these types of projects, and that really depends on the certainty of this credit being in place. The great thing about this credit is that it's been used all over the state for buildings of all sizes, and it's really a great tool to bring federal dollars in our state. Chair Joachim, I want to thank you and all of the other members for your past support on this and really continuing to champion this. Second priority, we have historically supported the reduction in the state historic or the state general levy that applies to CNI property. However, today, we feel it's most prudent to eliminate or phase out this tax altogether. This tax is clearly unique in many, many ways, but most importantly, Minnesota is the only state to have such a tax on a specific property type in the entire nation. Property taxes are a local matter, and this levy adds approximately 30% on top of all the municipal local taxes, which, by the way, we don't have any problem paying. It's important to note that real estate taxes are directly passed through to the businesses that occupy these buildings. So eliminating this levy would provide a uniform and much needed way to give businesses all over the state much needed relief, who quite frankly are still dealing with the issues around this pandemic and now inflation. So thanks for those on this committee who have supported that reduction efforts in the past, and I appreciate all the time allotted today, and will certainly make myself available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Next up, we have Roz Peterson from the Minnesota Shopping Center Association. Ms. Peterson, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Chair Joachim and members of the Property Tax Division. I am Roz Peterson on behalf of the Minnesota Shopping Center Association and CCIM Minnesota Dakota's chapter. MSCA has over 600 members that represent retail center owners, brokers, developers, property managers, appraisers, retailers, contractors, architects, and other vendors. CCIM is a nonprofit commercial real estate education international member organization. We agree with the others that have already spoken in regards to reducing or eliminating the state general levy, but from a different perspective. MSCA represents brick and mortar communities, which the pandemic has forced closures, shifted consumer shopping patterns, and sustained hardship for our members and tenants. Already, our retail bankruptcies exceed the financial crisis of 2008. Any reductions to the state general levy will help our small businesses and local communities. Small business owners like Allie and Drew Hansen of the Vine Room and women of color owned businesses like Minnie Row Market will be helped, since all property tax is passed along to the tenants. Also, in order to be fair, we feel it's important to reduce the overall levy versus expanding the exclusion deduction, which benefits some, but not all people. After all, the state general levy is already a small number of people paying a significant portion of the overall property tax. Thank you for listening, your consideration, your service to our state, and for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Peterson, and thank you for owning businesses in Hopkins. Next up, we have Nan Madden from the Minnesota Budget Project. Ms. Madden, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Nan Madden. I'm director of the Minnesota Budget Project. The Minnesota Budget Project is an initiative of the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits. Our mission is to identify and advance public policy changes to make Minnesota a place where everyone can thrive, regardless of who they are or where they live. We work primarily in the areas of tax, budget, and economic policy, and especially how those policy areas impact lower-income Minnesotans and communities of color. In regards for this committee, that translates into support for the property tax refunds that impact lower-income Minnesotans and communities of color, particularly the renter's credit, and also an interest in the important role that aids to local governments play in ensuring that all Minnesotans have access to quality public services and thriving communities. We believe that the resources available in the 2022 legislative session represent a historic opportunity, and that the path to a stronger, more equitable recovery is through investing in Minnesotans, their families, and their communities, focusing on those hardest hit by the pandemic, as well as the disparities and disinvestment that preceded it. Our top priority before this committee is to expand the renter's credit, providing both larger credit amounts and reaching more Minnesotans. The renter's credit is a powerful tool the state uses to put a limit on how much of a family's budget can go towards property taxes. It provides a refund of property taxes that renters have paid through their rents. The renter's credit is important to renters all across the state, and in many greater Minnesota counties, it's especially important for our seniors and people living with severe disabilities. We think the renter's credit has never been more important than now in these times of rising rents, tight incomes for renters, and the heavy impact of the pandemic on lower income people and people of color. And another high priority for us is removing arbitrary restrictions that are keeping some homeowners from gaining homestead status on their homes. I look forward to additional conversation with the committee, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Madden. I believe we're to our final one. Sheila Vaney with the Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. Ms. Vaney, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Sheila Vaney, and I'm the Assistant Director with the Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. We represent the state's 88 SWCDs, their 440 elected board members, and their over 400 conservation professionals. As many of you know, we've been trying to solve the issue of state funding for SWCDs for several years. We're grateful for the clean water funds that SWCs have been receiving the past four biennia, but every 2 years poses new challenges for us. The concept of SWCD aid is something that we've been thinking about for several years as a standing general fund appropriation to SWCDs through the Department of Revenue. And the current budget conditions, we feel, present an opportunity to finally resolve this. We would love the committee's support of this approach, and we look forward to visiting with you more about it as session progresses. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, and I am so sorry that I butchered your name there a little bit. Folks, we have finished our little speed dating round. I should have given everybody about one more minute. I just was not sure how we'd work with timing and people signing up. So I know Wednesdays are, well, first, I hope all of you were taking notes and had a chance to figure out who you need to talk to about some of the bills that you might want to carry. That was kind of the point of this whole exercise. And I know how crazy busy people's Wednesdays are, so I'd like to give you some of your time back. First, I just wanted to give you an update. Next week, we're going to be hearing three or four bills that will be posted very soon. And then the Department of Revenue will briefly present the VOS report and some of the changes from last year. And if we have time, we'll move on then to briefly hear about the 4D report that just came out. So I want to make sure, Representative Hertaz, did you have any questions or anything to add before we adjourn?
I find the mute button, sorry. Thank you for the question, but no, you've summed it up very well, and thank you for the presenters in today's meetings.
Thank you, Representative Huertas. And with that, folks, have some little bit more time put back into your agenda or into your agenda. You can tell I have not had enough coffee today, and this is my fourth committee hearing. So I'm going to give everybody some time back in their day today. And with that, we are adjourned.